Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
You're welcome back to Off the Ball. So we have a special panel to talk about living well and beyond with cancer. It's in association with Novartis, who are supporting the Irish Cancer Society for Daffodil Day, which is of course on tomorrow. Joining us are three cancer survivors, the former Ireland rugby international Tony Ward, the Irish long distance runner Mary Cullen, and the Tipperary hurler Noel McGrath are all with me this evening. Thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your story, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
For anybody who is listening in and has any concerns, the Irish Cancer Society support line is a supportive information service staffed by experienced cancer nurses, where anyone concerned about cancer can get trusted information and advice about any type of cancer. You can call on free phone 1800 200 700 or you can email supportline@irishcancer.ie, and I'll remind you of those numbers again later in the panel. Mary, you were diagnosed most recently, it was late 2018 when you were diagnosed with a rare form of head and neck cancer. You were pregnant at the time. How have the last 2.5 years been?
A whirlwind, but good. I'm in a good place. Obviously, Ellis is 22 months now, which is great. But yeah, it was a shock. Like, I was diagnosed, like you said, in 2018. I was 10 weeks pregnant at the time with Ellis, and I had a pretty big neck dissection surgery 13 weeks pregnant, because obviously being pregnant, I couldn't like go straight into chemotherapy and radiation. So the first kind of line of treatment for me, I suppose, was my surgery, because my cancer, like you said, it was a nasopharyngeal carcinoma, and it had spread to a lymph node in my neck. So they were kind of, they thought that it was probably like a little bit of unusual cancer. So to stop it in its tracks, I had to have the surgery to remove that lymph node. So we'd be hopeful that it wouldn't spread anywhere else.
It must have been a heck of a shock.
Yeah, it definitely was, because, you know, I found out I was pregnant in September of 2018, so that was super exciting. I'd been trying for Olympic Games kind of 2008, 2012, 2016, and I'd made a decision then to start a family. So that obviously was so exciting to hear I was pregnant. But then obviously the few symptoms started regarding my cancer. Little did I think from September to that December, the great news of being pregnant, but then obviously the shocking news of getting the cancer diagnosis in December.
When you look back now, how did you deal with the shock? Because it's not just now a shock for you, for your family. You're also obviously incredibly concerned about the unborn child.
Yeah, like, to be honest, I think that's, I don't know if anyone, Noel or Tony, could say the same, and it might sound a bit cliche, but I got my diagnosis obviously from my doctor here in Sligo, and because it was unusual cancer, my biopsy results had to be sent to hospitals in Dublin. So we kind of were in that limbo a little bit of like what was going on. And I remember being called by Dr. Shu over to his office in Sligo, and we were kind of going through what potentially could be. Sligo hadn't really seen it before, so that's why it was sent to Dublin. So it was kind of me, like, I was sort of like, are you guys thinking this could be cancer? And he was like, yeah, unfortunately we are. And it's so funny kind of in a way looking back, because when he said that, like, I kind of said to him, are you thinking cancer? And when he said yeah back, I was sort of like, oh, okay. I didn't really process it at that time, I don't think, but I remember leaving his office, and I just remember just like wandering sort of aimlessly around Sligo town, and going into like the local Dunn's, and just being in that kind of shock where I didn't really know what I was doing, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's definitely a shock when you get the final diagnosis.
How long then till you came to terms with it and actually started to get your head around what was going to come over the coming months and the coming year?
See, things kind of moved quick enough for me. So I was referred on to Beaumont Hospital with Professor Paul O'Neill, who I have to say is amazing. Like, he was just kind of like, which I liked for me personally, he was just matter of fact. He was like, all right, look, you're pregnant. This is what we have to do. We have to have this surgery. There was a risk of a miscarriage because I was only 13 weeks, and the surgery, they had like a timeline, kind of like 3 hours to get the surgery done, get in and out. But I think for me, even as an athlete, you just kind of like, okay, you sort of have targets and goals. And he was like, this is what we got to do. Then we got to get you to so many weeks pregnant to hopefully deliver the baby at as healthy gestation as can be. So in my mind, I was just kind of like, okay, we got to do what we got to do. And my mind did switch to the baby more so than me. And I know people were saying, Mary, you have to be okay for the baby to be okay, which obviously was the case. But at the same time, my priority and my brain just shifted to, I just wanted the baby to be okay. Yeah. So I think that sort of, in a way, was potentially a good distraction for me.
Yeah, it is another massive level of stress, though, that at a time when you get through the initial surgery and you should be starting to go through and maybe start thinking about a process of treatment and recovery, that you have this other giant step you have to get towards before that. The months that followed, are they just a whirlwind as well?
Yeah, it's funny, like, I continue to run through my pregnancy, so it was like a great distraction as well. I go out running most days, and I suppose I just kind of kept thinking, like, I was seeing my oncologist, I was seeing the head and neck doctor, and I was seeing my obstetrician. So in a way, like, days were kind of, or weeks were busy and they were kind of ticking away. But I just, initially they sort of said, okay, if we can get you to 20 weeks gestation, the cancer doesn't spread. But I couldn't get PET scans either because of being pregnant. So we kind of had to go off how I was feeling, like how my symptoms were, if I was getting any worse, which I wasn't, which was great. So yeah, those months I was just like, okay, I'll try and get to 28 weeks, but then there was sort of like, 32 weeks. So the longer we could obviously keep the baby inside, the better. So my mind was just trying to, I suppose I kept pushing the envelope. I was like, oh, could we get to 34 weeks potentially? You know, because I knew then that the baby would just have a better chance. He did spend two weeks in NICU after he was born, but and then we had to think about PET scans and MRI scans, like literally 10 days after I had Ellis. So I couldn't see him for a little period of time after having my PET scan because he was in NICU. So yeah, it was a long time, but it also went quick because I was just thinking, okay, I've got to deliver potentially, hopefully, a healthy baby. And then I had to think about going to Germany to start my treatment.
Yeah, looking at some of the photos online, looks as though Ellis is a good, young, healthy baby, all right?
Yeah, he's thriving. Like, a lot of people kind of said that, you know, sometimes when babies are born a little bit early, they're strong, and he definitely is. Like I said, he spent 2 weeks in the Rotunda in Dublin, and those guys were amazing. And then, yeah, we went, he was 8 weeks, and then we travelled to Germany for treatment. But yeah, he's thrived since. He's been great.
So are you finished treatment now?
I am. So I am, like, obviously I'm not getting any radiation or chemotherapy, but I'm still in kind of ongoing scans. I actually just had a follow-up scan yesterday. So I'm sort of in between PET scans and MRI scans because where my cancer was, so they obviously were able to debunk everything nasopharyngeal, and then there was still remaining tumor by my brainstem, and that's why I had to have radiation and chemotherapy to try and obviously shrink that. The radiation I had over in Essen in Germany because it was proton therapy, and Ireland only offers photon therapy. So that's why I traveled to Germany for my treatment. So my status right now, I suppose, is I'm stable. So I'm not in any active treatment as such at the moment, which is really good.
Great. Tony, early 2012, you were diagnosed with an aggressive strain of prostate cancer. Was this the typical Irish man where you noticed an issue and 6 months later you got something done about it?
Yeah, I was pretty close to him. The word that came up a lot there with Mary was the word shock, and I guess in 2012 that certainly was the same for me. But yeah, like, you know, I've got to hold up my hands. I was the typical macho man. I guess, and all three of us will probably admit to this, because we played sport at a reasonably elite level, that, you know, you do feel, I won't say a superman or superwoman type strength, but you do feel, well, nothing could happen to me, which is crazy, of course, because it can strike anybody. So I think, you know, for me too, there was an element of shock. With me, just condensing it, over a period of time, and I guess it's, I put it down to, you know, the aging process, I just found that I was wanting to go to the loo that little bit more, but I just, typical man, dismissed it as nothing, just ignored it. And then when I eventually went in to see my GP, and I was reasonably okay, and that I'd go to my GP every so often, not as often as I should have done for a checkup. But when I actually went back and checked, I had thought it had been about 3 years since I'd been at him, to him before 2012. It turned out it was actually 6 years, and that made a huge, big difference. So when we went in, we did the PSA, and it had shot through the roof, unfortunately. I'd gone from, I mean, figures are probably irrelevant at this stage, but it was something around 2 was the norm for me at that stage, and it went up to 9 point something. So when he did the physical check as well, he thought it was something untoward. And I think, you know, as both Noel and Mary will say as well, when you hear the C word mentioned, it really does scare you, you know, it gives you a shiver. And yet, much like Mary, you know, and the specialist she was talking about, there's a matter of fact element too, that, you know, you realize that there's an issue to deal with. So you just get on and deal with it, insofar as whatever advice you've given, that's what you follow. And that was my attitude. I think the one positive that came out of it for me, Nathan, was that it was how I actually tackled it, because, and I don't want to be flippant in saying this, but I remember when I was a kid seeing a film, Love Story, Ryan O'Neill and Ally McGraw. And it was a really happy movie. But then Ally McGraw, she was Jenny Cavallari, and she was diagnosed with cancer. I think it was leukemia at the time. And I remember that happening. I was only a teenager when I actually saw it. And it had an amazing effect on me at the time. And right from then, from the day I saw that movie, I often wondered, God, how would I handle that if ever it was said to me? And then the day it was, when I was with my GP and he said to me, sorry, it wasn't my GP, it was my specialist, Hubie Galler, had gone from right part to Hubie. And Hubie just said to me, look, you know, we've got an aggressive strain of cancer here. And that was my Cavallari moment. And I just, from then, from somewhere, and I don't know where from where, I got some sort of inner strength. And I just said, look, second half, up the hill, into the wind, the elements are against us, but we got to battle it. And I was really positive going forward. And thankfully, it's worked out.
Great. Because it's interesting you use the word Superman there, because I think people would have looked at somebody like you, Tony, who was such a successful sportsman across so many sports, as something of a Superman. And you touch on it there. Suddenly, you're having to face your own mortality. And while there's the physical battle to go through, it sounds for you the mental battle was is important as well, just trying to keep your head in the right space.
Yeah, there's a balance to be had, absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to think I got it right. I have to say, I was really helped. And I know, you know, all three of us will express the same opinion. We really are fortunate with the quality of specialists that we're dealing with in this country. And I had brachytherapy because, you know, without going into the nitty-gritty of it, in my case, it was compared to an orange where the juice was slipping through the peel, but it hadn't quite, thankfully for me, gone into my other organs. So it necessitated having to get hormone treatment, and that I had to have implants under my arm, which for the male kills the libido to that area of the body. And that followed by brachytherapy, which I had in the matter. And then I had, I think, 5 weeks radiation or 6 weeks radiation, five days a week. So it was quite an intense period over about 4 or 5 months. So that took a little bit of you know, getting an alignment, obviously, between the mental and the physical as well. I think where, again, I come back to this macho thing, even when I was having the radiation treatment, it was quite tiring and exhausting. And yet I was fighting it because I'm a journalist, as you know, so I was still wanting to do my work and I was still sitting at the computer and wanting to bang away. And I was literally falling asleep at it, and I was fighting this. And I was wrong. You've got to roll with the blows, as they say. But you learn as you go, and I did. And the message, Nathan, I would have for everybody, and you've touched on it already, is, you know, for men in particular, like, women are brilliant for talking the talk, but then walking the talk as well. We're awful, us men. We don't like to talk about these things. They'll go away, they'll be fine. And it doesn't work like that at all. We're all human, we're all vulnerable. And I learned those lessons very, very quickly, and I'd like to think I put it into practice along the way.
Yeah, and that matter-of-fact way that the specialist can talk to you is because they're having that conversation every day, unfortunately, with different people across the country. Noel, what age were you when you were diagnosed with testicular cancer?
I was 24 years of age, Nathan. It'll be 6 years in the middle of April now, like, so it's been a long time and it's been a short time at the same time. So I suppose everyone has their own story and everybody is different, and mine is no different to Mary and to Tony. You have ups and downs, you have good days, you have bad days during it. And for me, it came as a massive shock, I suppose, in one way. And in another way, I had probably given 2-3 weeks where I knew I was in trouble. So I had myself some way built up to knowing that there was an issue coming. But at the same time, when you hear that C word, it does knock you. We had lost an All-Ireland replay the year before to Kilkenny. And so, like, we were hitting 2015 as a year where we wanted to get back there again, back to Croke Park and to All-Ireland finals. And as individuals, you were trying to get fitter, you were trying to get stronger, you were trying to be that bit better. And we had made a decent start to the year, and the league was going well for us. We were heading into a league semi-final, and before I knew it, a league semi-final was the last thing on my mind. Like, I was in the gym one evening in UCD in Dublin, and I just was rubbing a bar along my body, and it didn't feel right. And I kind of probably hid it for 2 to 3 weeks. And as Tony was saying, it'll go away. Like, it's only a lump, but that'll be gone in a few days. But gradually it was just getting that bit bigger, and it wasn't going away. So I knew I had to go and talk to my GP, and I won't say I knew what it was. I had it in my head what the worst case scenario could be, but it was confirmed fairly quick then. It was very obvious to me and to the GP when he's seen it what the issue was. And I suppose from there, it was a Monday that I went to the GP, and by the Friday I had an operation and had my testicle removed. So it was fairly quick. A couple of weeks later, I had a bout of chemotherapy for one day, which wasn't as severe, I suppose, as what Tony and Mary had to go through. But even being in that room, you get a sense of what people go through on a day-to-day basis, and people who have to go through chemo or radiotherapy or whatever treatment that they need for cancer. And it's not an easy place to be. And I knew that while I was in a tough situation and I'd be diagnosed with cancer, I had got it caught quick and I was seen to quick, and things had moved fairly quick in regards from diagnosis to surgery. And thankfully, after, I'd say, maybe 5 or 6 weeks after the surgery and the chemo tests were shown positive for me, that it hadn't spread anywhere else, which at the time was probably my biggest concern after being told about cancer, that it hadn't spread. And luckily enough, it hadn't. And from there, I suppose, what kept me going through it, I suppose, was the support of club mates, teammates with TIP, the GA community around the country, my family, your friends. They just kept, I suppose, calling to me. I couldn't drive. I wasn't out for a while. So people would call and visit you. People would call you on the phone. You get text messages. And that would just give you that bit of confidence and that bit of a boost to keep going. And after probably 6 to 8 weeks, when I knew that I was going to get back playing sport again, that gave me a focus and it gave me a drive for the rest of that summer. And I suppose I got back playing with my club and the county that year, which at the time, I probably didn't realise how much of an achievement it was to get back playing that year. But looking back now, like, it's something that did keep me going at the time and gave me that, I suppose, kept my mind strong and my mind focused for that, during that period. At the moment, I suppose, there's not a day goes by, I don't think that it crops into my head at some stage. Whether that's the same for Mary or Tony, but whatever is something that you see or do, it just clicks in your mind, and it's something that you just have to live with, that you've had, and that thankfully I've got over, and I'm fit and healthy at the moment, and hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, it's great to hear, Noel, and we are talking about living well and beyond with cancer on this panel. It's in association with Novartis, who are supporting the Irish Cancer Society for Daffodil Day, which is, of course, tomorrow. It is that time of the year when the Irish Cancer Society are raising badly needed funds because of COVID. You're not going to see the traditional sellers in the usual spots all around the country, but they still need that support more than ever. So if you get onto cancer.ie, you can make a donation and it will be hugely appreciated. We're joined by Mary Cullen, by Tony Ward and by Noel McGrath. We've been hearing about their cancer stories. Mary, what Noel was talking about there and talking about living well and beyond cancer, has there been a moment for you over the last few years where you felt any sense of normalcy, that I'm getting back my life to where I was a few years ago?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny, like, a lot of people sort of said, oh, you know, your first year after treatment, like, it'll take a minute type of thing. And I don't know if it's the athlete background or the athlete mindset. Noel and Tony might attest to this. Like, when I left Germany, they were like, take it easy now. Don't be, like, rushing into running a marathon or anything. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, as if you'd leave it a couple of weeks before, months before you get back running. I think I was home, and I did have a little spell in hospital when I first got back. Just like, treatment is severe, you know, like, I had chemotherapy once a week for 6 weeks, and then I had the 36 radiation. So your white cells are obviously shot, but you just, as a runner, like, I would have ran 90 mile weeks in my kind of prime, I suppose. So I'm kind of used to that fatigue a little bit. So I kind of got back running quick enough, and I wasn't giving my body a chance to probably absorb everything that happened, like, mentally and physically. I wanted to get back out running, because I suppose I use it for therapy as well, and it's very therapeutic for me to go out for my run. I did probably go a little bit too hard too soon, and it took a little bit longer to get those white cells back up.
Yeah.
But I have felt, maybe in the last sort of, I'm into my obviously second year post-treatment, and I definitely think this year I am starting to see, like, little light of my old self coming back when I'm out in the roads and stuff like that. So I think for anybody that's maybe going through treatment right now, or like maybe just the other side of it, like, definitely give yourself a pat on the back to get, because you've got through your treatment. But I also think, yeah, like, just give yourself that little bit of a chance to recover, you know. Like, I know the treatment part is done, but it still takes the body a little while just to kind of absorb it all, you know.
Yeah, is it hard, Mary, not to put a lot of pressure on yourself, particularly, I often wonder, with the language we use around cancer, where it's a fight and a battle, is the word that often comes up, that you feel you need to go and take on this diagnosis, where actually sometimes the best thing is just to sit back and just to relax?
Yeah, I think so, like, 100%. It's funny as well that you say it, because I know when I was going for my treatment, my consultant was like, okay, now you got to get your athlete head on. You got to go there and you got to like be ready for this, you know, the treatment that you're going to have. So in my head, that actually worked for me, because I was like, okay, this, like you said, it is a battle. Some people that, you know, the word battle, as you said, the connotation of that, like it's like, you know, strong, you have to be strong, but you don't want to show any weakness when you're going through it. But I definitely would say lean on that support from people. Like, it does take a village, and if people want to help, and if you have kids and people want to take your kids for an hour, don't feel bad, like don't feel guilty. I think even as Irish people, like we try to take it on everything ourselves, and we're sometimes a little bit reluctant to ask for help. But I definitely think, like, you do, you definitely need that little bit of support if you have it, and definitely lean on it.
Tony, that idea that it takes a village, and then in comparison to men not talking, post-diagnosis and post-treatment, did you find yourself being a bit more open in terms of your support system? Did you find that actually you could talk about this and what you were going through with a lot of people?
I did, yeah. And again, both Mary and Noel have talked about their support systems within their own sports, and it was the same within mine. I think it's one of the great things we have. It's a unifying bond that you have all the way through life. I shouldn't use the word imposter, but I do feel a little bit of imposter insofar as mine was after my career, well after my career was over, my playing career. For Mary and Noel, like both to strike in their 30s, you know, in such an early stage, or in Noel's case, his late 20s, it must be really difficult to deal with. Difficult for anyone anyway. But I think that is the message that we've got to get out there, that this can strike anybody at any time, as we're seeing with COVID now as well. It's not selective. It just strikes where, you know, where you're unfortunate for whatever reason it happens. But the whole thing is what you referred to earlier, Rodney, and getting the balance between the mental and the physical and being prepared for the fight ahead and to fight back again. And I'm in a good place now. I still have to win occasionally. I was in yesterday fortnight for a colonoscopy. It's just part of life, and again, part of the aging process for me at this stage. But I'm full of admiration for how Noel and Mary are handling it at their stage in life. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Are you at a stage, Tony, then, what are we, 8-9 years on from the initial diagnosis, where you can get through a day and cancer isn't part of your thought process at all?
Yeah, I don't think, I won't say I don't think about it at all. That'd be untrue. It does come into my mind, but nowhere near it did as much as initially when it was diagnosed back in 2012. So I am moving on, and even the results of the colonoscopy last week were the best I've had so far. So it's looking good going forward. I'm lucky with the lifestyle. I've moved. I'm down in Greystones now, and I'm very close to the sea, particularly with COVID. So in terms of being able to walk and able to swim, I'm one of these nutters now who swims every day because I have it right on my doorstep. I absolutely love it, and I look forward to it so much. And anybody who's never tried it, trust me, it's a very special experience. So I look forward to that every day as well. So I keep myself in reasonably decent shape in that respect, again, mentally and physically.
Noel, is it just a natural thing after coming through this that you will have a new lease of life, that you will have that sense of a second chance, that things will naturally change? Or did you go back to your old life straight away, or how have things changed for you?
I wouldn't say everything changed or everything stayed the same. I suppose I would have considered myself doing a lot right before I was diagnosed with cancer. And I've continued to do them things. There were some subtle changes that I did make, I suppose, afterwards, maybe in regards diet and things like that. I used to never eat vegetables when I was younger, and I suppose since that I've started to eat them, just small little things like that. But I don't think it changed me too much, to be honest. If anything, it probably just made me a bit more open, a bit more freer, a bit more carefree. Probably doesn't sound the right word, but if you know what I mean, as regards not taking things as serious, getting on with things, not getting bogged down with small little things, because there's enough things going on. without, I suppose, putting pressure on yourself. And I know that I've been lucky. Like, I got my diagnosis caught early. I didn't have to go through the treatment or the length of time that Tony and Mary and a lot of others had to go through. So I know that I was one of the, I suppose, the luckier ones that get cancer, if that's the right way of saying it. Mentally, for a while, it was tough. I remember, I suppose, in the initial stages afterwards, as I said already, I had that focus of getting back playing, and I did get back playing. And but I suppose probably come September, October, I think that year, we probably finished playing football with the club. And once that was over, like, the adrenaline rush stopped for me, and the body just, I won't say shut down, but it got tired. Like, it had been a fairly hectic 6 months. Like it or not, like, I was involved with Tipperary at the time, and during the summer, intercounty hurling and football are big news in the sporting world. So, when I did come back playing, like, there was a lot of people, whether they were calling me, texting me, meeting me, asking me questions, and gradually over time that drains you because mentally it's tiring. So come the end of that year, it probably had its effect on me, and it probably had me worn down a small bit. But thankfully, by come around the following year, like, the body was refreshed and ready to go again. It hadn't gone through, I suppose, the chemo or the radiotherapy that Mary and Tony have spoken about. So it probably wasn't as drained, I suppose, physically as others. And I always count myself lucky that I didn't have to go through as tough a time as others. As I said, the day I did get chemo in Limerick, I seen people in there who were in different situations than I was. And just knowing that, I suppose, I was one of the lucky ones to get a caught early. And thankfully, look, the last 6 years have been good to me on the sporting side of things as well. And I'm lucky to be able to still enjoy my sport and still play it. And hopefully that will continue for whatever length of time I can stay playing it, and I'll enjoy it as much as I do.
Yeah, I think for people from the outside, Noel, who'd followed what you had gone through at the time, they probably felt there was a sense of finality of your journey when you made that appearance in the All-Ireland semi-final in Galway, when you ran out and I think everybody rose to their feet to applaud you. What was that moment like for you?
Probably at the time, Nathan, to be honest, I didn't appreciate what was going on really at the time. Like, I was like a 24-year-old who, I suppose, as a 24-year-old, you don't really think that this is going to happen. And then when it did, it was such a whirlwind. And coming on that day against Galway, the significance of it personally didn't really hit home. And it's probably hit home a lot more for me in the last year or two than it actually did at the time. Like, as a sports person, you're driven to succeed and to be the best you can. And, like, I was in that mind frame from the January of that year. And, yeah, I missed a couple of months during the year. But come that day, like, the other guys on the panel, like, were looking to win for Tipperary, and I was no different. And I suppose afterwards, I got a lot of people talking to me and texting, as I said. But I don't think it was until a couple of years later that I actually realised, like, the moment that it was. And probably in later years it will be something that I will remember. And to all supporters there, both Tipperary and Galway, and from people who, I suppose, who weren't from either county, who were there on the day or watching on telly, like, it was a nice reception to get, and something that I will appreciate and do appreciate, because, like, any sporting community, I'm in the GA, Mary in athletics, and Tony in rugby, there's great people in all them sporting communities, as there is in others as well, who will give you that support. And it's greatly appreciated. And at the time, it was a big thing for me that I probably didn't appreciate as much as I do now.
Yeah. Mary, with what you've gone through over the last 2.5 years, you obviously haven't gone through it alone, and you have your partner and family members. And when you're going through this, I get, you can have a certain amount of control over your own emotions, but they're also going through a hugely stressful time as well, particularly when there's a baby on the way. How did you deal with that and what everybody else was going through almost on your behalf?
Yeah, it's funny. Like you don't like when you're kind of going through it yourself. I think like my dad actually passed away in 2011 from cancer, and that was obviously very difficult. But it's nearly when it's you personally, like how do I describe it? like you nearly don't. Like when my dad was going through it, I was so upsetting. But when it was me, I just wanted, like, I wanted myself to be good for everybody else. So I wasn't even, I know this sounds maybe a bit silly, but I wasn't even really thinking so much about myself. I knew I had control over my, like, I knew that, like, when I'm running, I have a race in mind and I have to do X, Y, and Z in my training to get to that end point. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I've got to do X, Y, and Z and I'll be okay at the end. And I suppose kind of what Noel touched on there a little bit, though. I don't think when you're going through the actual treatment and going through being told you have cancer, you're just sort of like, okay. In my head, I was like, I gotta just keep moving forward with this. And I think it is. I think it's really difficult for the people that care about you to see you going through it. Like, I know when I was going through my treatment in Germany and towards the kind of the latter ends, like the fifth, sixth week, and I was starting to kind of like, you know, the vomiting started a little bit with the chemo, but you still just kept wanting to put on that front, and there was a baby there, and I was so lucky that Mark and my mum and my sisters were all able to come out and help. So it's really hard for the people that are around supporting, because they obviously just want to for you to get better, and they're kind of nearly worrying more because they're not in control of the situation. So for me, I was just trying to stay as controlled as I could through it. It's definitely hard for the care, for sure, for the people that care about you.
Tony, right at the start, you were talking about men and how we don't talk about these things. With what you've gone through and with your experience, and what do you know? I don't want to reveal your age, Tony, but say mid-60s, you and your mates, do you chat about this a little bit more? Do you check up on each other a bit more?
Man-to-man type stuff?
Mm.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm involved with different organisations, you know, asking to speak from time to time. And it's a message that, you know, you really try to get out there. Can I just say, like Mary, I find it hard to explain as well how you felt at the time. But you really did, like, there's an element of self-pity, but honestly, I found it minimal. But what worried me was everybody else close to me worrying about me. And that's why I wanted to fight that little bit harder. And I think possibly as sports people were helped. I mean, Mary was talking about, you know, her race plan to get to the end point. And I think we've all, you know, whether it's the Tip hurling team or whether it's the Munster Ireland rugby team, or I played a bit of soccer as well, but you have a game plan. And I think that helps because you do get a game plan. And I use that game, obviously, very loose, the word game loosely. But you do set a plan in your mind going forward and you try and stick to that. But to answer your question, Nathan, in terms of men encouraging men, I am absolutely open with everybody. And you know, we might slag each other off, but there's a very serious message behind it when I'm talking to anybody who's quite, again, use that word flippant, where something like this is concerned. It's too serious. And the impact on so many people, not least yourself, and, you know, the obvious effects that could come from cancer. But certainly, I think men, and I think as a society in Ireland, we are improving, but we've still a bit to go.
Noel, for that younger age group, are you having those conversations? How do you start those conversations?
I think it's becoming more and more acceptable, I think, to talk about with Nathan. Social media has its ups and downs, but I think in this side of things, it's very, very positive, and for getting messages out there. Obviously, with COVID, face-to-face talks at the moment aren't something that's very common, but hopefully in the coming few weeks or months that will become more, I think, for the whole society. But just talking to people, like, I got phone calls off people who were worried because they felt there might be an issue or they weren't feeling great, and being comfortable having them phone calls was something that before I had the cancer I would never have been thought I'd be able to have. Whereas now, just like this year, having a chat about it, anyone that comes to me and asks me about it, anyone that has any queries or questions or worries about it, I'm very comfortable and open at talking about it, about my experience. I suppose a lot of people maybe think that because as someone who has been through cancer, you have all the answers. I don't. And I suppose the best thing I can do is give my experience with the cancer and how I dealt with it and my story of what I did to come through it. And that mightn't be for everybody. It might work for some, but it might work for others because everybody's story is different. So I'm very, very open and happy to give my experience and to give any bit of advice that might help somebody, whether that means that they go to their GP a day or a week or a month earlier than they might have without hearing from me, or it might just put them at ease. There might be nothing in what they're questioning, but I think it's becoming more and more open. And as fellas, I suppose, especially, like Tony touched on it there, like there can be some flippant remarks and people laughing and joking about it, but there's a time to be serious as well, and this is definitely one of them. Like, and with fellas especially, girls, again, they're very good at, I think, talking to other girls or talking to a parent or somebody they trust or their GP, whereas fellas are that macho and try to brush it off. But I think it is improving. And as again, any time that I can help anyone in any little bit, I'm not going to say I can have all the answers because I don't, but I can give my experience of what I went through and how, I suppose, maybe some coping mechanisms that I used or people that I lent on for support during it, that made a big difference to me. And if that can even help some one person get through it that bit easier, well, that for me is a win, and hopefully that can increase over time.
For anyone listening in who does want support or has any questions, the Irish Cancer Society support line is a supportive information service staffed by experienced cancer nurses, where anyone concerned about cancer can get trusted information and advice about any type of cancer. You can call them on free phone 1800 200 700 or email supportline@irishcancer.ie. Obviously, COVID is causing all sorts of issues around cancer treatment and around the Irish Cancer Society's ability to fundraise. Tomorrow is Daffodil Day. You won't find the usual daffodil sellers, but what you should do is get onto cancer.ie and you make a donation there. And obviously, all charities' funding has been suffering through this COVID pandemic. So get onto cancer.ie. It is well worth supporting. Tony Ward, Mary Cullen. Go on, Noel.
Yeah, I was just going to add to what I was saying there. I suppose being part of a team and a group is sometimes seen as probably harder to talk about issues like that, because you don't want to be a weak link or you don't want to be seen as someone who's weak and not able to deal with something. But my experience of it was that being part of a group with my club and with my county and I suppose with my family, it was a much more of a positive situation because you had a larger support group. So sometimes people are afraid to talk up in groups or in teams because they feel that people might be talking about them or laughing at them, but you will always get that support, and people are very, very good to support people who are in bother or in trouble. And that's what I found from it, that support does come, and don't be afraid of what people are maybe going to perceive you as in any kind of a situation that's a bit, I suppose, perceived as being different, because them people, I suppose, are the people that you won't be looking for the support from, but the people that will support you are the ones that you will want to talk to. And that's what I found from is that a group that I had and that support around me was massive.
Yeah, and I think it's clear from all three of you that support is massive, and the Irish Cancer Society are there. So get on to cancer.ie if you have any questions, or get onto that free phone number 1800 200 700. Mary Cullen, thank you for joining us, and thanks for sharing your story, and best of luck with the baby and all that over the coming years. Tony Ward, thank you as always. And Noel McGrath as well. Thanks a lot to all three of you for coming on today.
The OTB Podcast Network.